This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How many games will the Cubs win this year? And did today's opening game alter your opinion on what to expect?
No, it doesn't influence anything, I believe. I think it's 90 or bust. 90 or bust for Jed Hoyer, for the Cubs, for a lot of people involved in it. This is it. They got to win this year, and I think they will. But 90 wins is where I'm setting the bar. If it's 92, I won't complain.
I also would not complain, but I don't see it. I know it's one game, and we're going to do this exact same thing tomorrow. So maybe if they're 1-1,
we won't do the exact same thing tomorrow.
We're going to do the pick 6 at 9
There's
o'clock tomorrow.
There's only one opening day.
Okay, 86.
So today, the second part of the question: what happened on opening day altered your opinion of the season?
Yes, absolutely. Of course
That's
it did.
So ridiculous. That's
of course it did. Yep. The errors, all the walks issued. Yes.
So where are you at?
86.
86. Okay. 86. I think that I'm
which is still probably good enough to win that division, but
it's good enough to win the division. I think the Cubs are going to be at 89. I think 90 is just short of 90.
90 or they bust.
90 or bust. But they're going to get less. They're going to fall short of 90, but they're not going to bust. As long as you get into the playoffs and have October baseball again at Wrigley Field, the best team since Joe Maddon left town needs to win a playoff series. That to me is what you're going to be measured by. The win total. Well, it'll vary. I mean, it could be anywhere between 87 and 92,
okay.
I think, is realistic.
Yeah.
90 is a good bar. I'm glad they set it. I'm glad that we were talking about it. I'm glad it's out there for everyone to aspire to clear. But I don't know if it's today.
If the bar were 94, today, only 89. I'd be like, oh, I don't know about it. 90 seems reasonable.
90's good.
90's
good. That's a good possible. That's a good goal. And I want them to chase that because if they are close at the deadline, I want them to be aggressive.
They lost so many games with blown saves.
26.
You have that mark. You're there.
It's not
that
easy,
though. You've got your 90.
I want them to spend Bellinger's money. I want them to do something at the deadline that's aggressive.
I think they had fun in Japan, if that's what you're asking.
Wow. You know, it's a scary good question, right?
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's with us at 9:25. Oh, yay, they can hit. Did the Cubs do enough to improve on offense that disappears for whole games? This is submitted by Jack in Western Springs, who's here in our audience.
Jack, that's a great question. Where's Jack? Thank you for submitting it. No, they did not do enough. That's the point. I think that when you look at their lineup, you do feel very good about it. I just said that it's the best Cub team since Maddon left town. But I don't think they ever replaced Cody Bellinger, and I think they still can be better offensively. They're one big bat short of being a team that you can say is at least a 90-win team. That is a team that scares you and doesn't have some outs in the lineup. I still go back to there are four spots in that lineup. Amaya, or whoever catches, Matt Shaw, PCA, and Michael Bush, who was pinch hit for today.
Yes.
Pinch hit for today by Justin Turner.
Right.
Day one against a lefty, Michael Bush was pinch hit for. So I think there are too many holes or questions in that lineup for it to say you don't need another big bat. Yes, you do. Go buy one.
I think PCA is going to be good, though.
I do, too. He's the one I have the most confidence in of that four.
And we had at least one fan or more today in this studio audience with Cody Bellinger jerseys on. Okay, I saw some Cody Bellingers walking around.
I think
He left. Maybe they both left.
Head to New York.
But it would have been great just because of injuries, right? So, Nico's out. Bush could have potentially been at second base. And Cody Bellinger today could have been batting fourth or third and playing first base. They did not replace it enough. Now, you can say Kyle Tucker, sure, but Kyle Tucker replaced Seiya Suzuki, who replaced nobody, is the DH.
That's
and
a better
Suzuki,
way to look at it.
And Suzuki struggled today. Yep. And again, ton of pressure on that guy, no doubt about it, playing in Japan and whatnot. But, right?
So was Shota.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope Roki has the same issue tomorrow.
And Ohtani only, scored two runs and had two hits.
He's tomorrow's Seiya Suzuki. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. They didn't spend that money. And, I mean, you can't help but keep an eye out on how people are doing. And Bellinger is doing very well. He's having a really good camp. So that's bothersome. I would agree with that. And we said that we would not judge that until we figured out what they were going to do with that money. And as you say, thus far, they've eaten some sushi with it. I don't know what they're doing. And They do feel a player short. That is a fair enough assessment. I still think they can win 90 games. But to answer the question, yeah, you could use another bat for sure.
By the way, just an aside, of the three of us, Mully has the highest win total projection for the Cubs, for the record.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I am in line with what the Cubs expect of the Cubs. I don't think I'm over the moon. I'm not putting it out of reach.
Sox fan over the moon.
90 or bust. If a Sox fan is over the moon, it means they're watching the Savannah Bananas perform at Guaranteed Rate
Field. It's
going
to be the biggest crowd of the season at 35th and Shields.
That's another really good question.
All right, this one from Michael from Lakeview. Which opening day was worse, the 2024 when the Cubs lost to the Rangers and lost Justin Steele to that injury, or this 2025 clunker in Tokyo?
This was just a clunker. Nobody is damaged, and you're not set back. There's no kind of real... The Justin Steele thing is your opening day starter suffering an injury, and then you're kind of thrown out of whack for a good month and a half. So I think that was significantly worse. But this is unpleasant. They couldn't get a hit. That's kind of worrisome. You talk about how they needed a big bat and whatever it was, 21 straight at bats without a hit. Come on now. That's not a way to win baseball.
I hate to ever answer a question like this. I'm not going to say I don't know because you never say I don't know. But I think it's TBD, and here's why. Here's why. Remember, and I talked to one of our listeners that's come today. She had a shirt on when they went to London. Remember when the Cubs went to London? They were in a really good spot. They were in contention, at least for a wild card. They came back from that trip. I think they lost six straight series. And nobody was injured, but obviously we could the jet lag excuse. So we now the opener, I know the question's about the opener, but this opening series, and then to our point from earlier, they're going to come back. They're going to do this weird spring training thing. Then they got to go play the Diamondbacks, who haven't moved
at
all.
It's a long trip from Mesa to downtown
Phoenix.
Well,
I'm saying, but the Diamondbacks haven't moved at all, right? So they open at the Diamondbacks. They should open in Arizona. They shouldn't open here. That's a whole other question we'll talk about later. But if they lose multiple series, they lose the Dodger series. Then they lose the Diamondback series.
Are the Dodgers going to be affected like that?
You're anticipating a carryover from the slumping bats today, not only to tomorrow, but to next week.
Potentially.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's a good question, but it also gives Cubs fans an opportunity to say it could be worse.
Yes.
Because last year on opening day, it was worse. Yeah. You not only lost a game, you lost your ace. And really, Justin Steele did recover, but he never really was the guy
right.
You wanted him or needed him to be last season on the mound. So that was much worse. This is one game. They're going to have plenty of time to recover from jet lag. This isn't London in 2023. I'm sure it was a great trip. I hope it was wonderful. But I think that it was not necessarily the same type of situation, because that was in June, and Marcus Stroman was on the mound, and he was never the same again after that. London is where they lost the season. This is not where they're losing the season. This is just a it's an unorthodox, unusual way to start the year, but they're going to have plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah, great question.
All right, this one is from Mark here in Chicago. With the Cubs being the, quote, home team in these two games, they will only have 79 at the friendly confines. Will the Ricketts family finances be okay?
That's a really cynically wonderful question.
I think they should have had a dollar per beer.
I don't know that we're going to be talking about biblical losses. I do wonder what the – did they – was this trip reflected in the season ticket prices for fans that now only have 79 games to attend?
I believe so, but, I mean, I'm sure we could get a season ticket. I thought I talked to a season ticket holder that they did – that the prices went up and you got two less products.
Okay. So I think that if the Cubs are strapped financially, we'll hear about it, because Tom has not been shy about expressing that sentiment when they have felt like they were cash strapped.
They are doing okay. I wouldn't worry about them. They got
Comet's going to stay on, right? Nightcore's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all right. And I think that they've got, you know, that whole area is kind of Ricketsville, right? They've bought up a lot of different places. They've cut different deals. I think they're in great financial position. I get it. Tom is very he's very repetitive in his whole theme of
consistent.
Any money we make goes back. Well, I mean, it also is redundant, because he says the same thing over and
consistent
over again.
Consistent
is nicer. But that is the message. Yeah. The money they make goes back in the team. And so the money... I don't think they're going to lose a player over this, if that's what the fear is. You know, they got 79 games at home. It's going to be a ton of fun. There'll be a party every game, and everybody will be happy about it. So, I don't know that I realize this is a home game. It doesn't feel like the Cubs are at home.
And
I know.
When they win tomorrow, they're going to play Go Cubs Go.
Because Roki is a nervous wreck.
Roki's going to be a wreck. Roki's a wreck.
I like it.
But I would think it would be interesting if Darren Revell ends up doing a story on this, like how it works.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, so did, as an example, did Major League Baseball as a whole pay for both the Cubs and the Dodgers and their traveling parties to go? Or
Cubs brought a lot of players, ex-players.
But did the Cubs have to pay for that? Did the Dodgers have to pay for that? And again, you get back to the price of beer. Well, okay, so... I did see a story. Their beer, and we saw a story, Taylor McGregor getting a beer from a vendor out of like a backpack.
Yeah,
right.
She had her
It was our money. It was a $6 beer.
Wow.
Well, that's like half price.
I can tell you, you're not getting that at Wrigley.
Right?
Yeah.
So
those beer bats are expensive.
Did the Cubs get the beer money? Did they get the concession money? How does that work?
Can the fans bring their own beer backpack in and just kind of sit there and watch the game?
I would like one of those if it's on Amazon. And I got some beer, by the way.
The next...
I was gifted some beer.
How about this?
Yes.
How does that happen?
So...
Did you lose a bet?
No.
Win a bet?
This gentleman called in, and I said, where are you calling from? And he said, Rhinelander. And I said, I knew Rhinelander because I went to St. Norbert's, my first of five colleges. And then I said, are you going to be able to make it down? He said, oh, yeah, I also live in Downers Grove. And I said, oh, gosh, we drank Rhinelander beer. He goes, oh, it was terrible. I said, yeah, but in college, you paid like $8 for a case of bottles, and you returned it, and they gave you $5 for recycling. So it was fantastic.
Someone call Mitch. Dustin's demanding beer.
No, he's drinking on the job.
I did not demand anything. We just had a conversation.
You may think he does, but he doesn't typically drink on the job.
There's a
30-pack. That's a good question, and I'm really not sure.
On opening day of baseball, we're just letting it sit.
Pretty good. Thank you very much for your kindness.
I think Brandon played a question there. All right. Is it worth the Bulls ascending to the ninth seed so they can host a play-in game? How much do you think that matters to management?
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're talking about the Bulls moving up. I mean, listen, Kobe White's playing great. Was that the ninth game where he was over 20 points? And that's a personal best, and he was player of the week in the Eastern Conference. The inevitability of the Bulls in the play-in. Okay, great. Make it a home game. That's fantastic. I got no problem with it. It just feels like they're too good. There's just no way for them to Paul George it, right? You see, they shut him down.
Yeah.
Philadelphia shut down everything, for God's sake. So, I mean, yeah, okay, let's go with the home game. Get some more concession money in here.
Well, if you're going to foul it up and not get capture the flag, then you may as well do what they're doing, and that's continuing to win and improving their spot. If you can't fail properly, then you may as well have the home game, which is good for the fans.
Yeah.
It's a good – listen – the Bulls as a product, in-person product.
Fun.
It's a fantastic night.
Great night.
An afternoon night, whatever ends up being. They're playing well.
It's fun to watch.
Max Levine gone, playing better without David's guy, Max Levine.
And Cooper Flagg is injury prone.
That was unnecessary. I mean, nobody mentioned Max Levine or Zach.
You mentioned
Levine.
They were playing
better.
They're
playing, the Kings this
interesting,
week.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, they are playing better. They're moving the ball. They're sharing the ball. They're playing the way Billy Donovan insists they play.
Guy's too good a coach.
You look, the Heat are actively losing. They've lost 8 in a row. You mentioned the Sixers. They've tanked. We heard last night Stacey and Adam Amin talking about the Jazz actively tanking. It's a thing.
There might need to be an investigation, by the way. It's really
overt,
bad,
but right? The Bulls are not playing. The Bulls aren't messing around. Hosting a game, I do think, matters to them. You look at tankathon.com now, 3.7% chance to get your guy Cooper Flagg. So the Heat have 3.8% chance. So the Bulls' chances are diminishing by the victory. We get that, but it is fun. They can host, and I think you just have to accept it.
I've answered this question, a lot, obviously.
That's the voice of Connor Bedard. Do you expect Connor Bedard to get another 10-minute penalty tonight against the Kraken? Have the NHL officials made their point, or is the Blackhawks star still a marked man?
Love this question because it speaks to the disrespect that Connor Bedard consistently has gotten this year from every aspect of the league.
Yep.
Started with the media, spread to the players. Now goes to the officials. Somebody in the Blackhawk organization, stand up for this kid. He's a kid. He's 19 years old. He's as mild-mannered as they come. He's also the best player they've had in Chicago since Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews. He's going to be a player of that ilk eventually. Don't get down on Connor Bedard because this year has been a struggle. This year has been a struggle. Nobody denies that. But he's going to fix himself. He's broken right now. Help him fix himself by standing up for him, giving officials something to think about the next time they get nonsense and want to call a 10-minute minor or 10-minute penalty on a kid who just mouthed off. Everybody mouths off in hockey, right? So I don't know. I want to hear it from Anders Sorensen. I want to hear it from Nick Foligno.
Yes.
Kyle Davidson. Whoever needs to do it. Danny Wirtz.
Yes.
Whoever needs to do that in the organization to say, leave this kid alone. He's going to be a star.
Agreed wholeheartedly everything you just said. The other thing that I'd like to see carry over tonight is he was very emotional. If you didn't see the replay, took his helmet off,
yeah,
whipped it as he went up the tunnel, and let's hope maybe that motivates him a little bit more down the stretch.
Well, if he gets another 10-minute penalty, then take whatever committee is investigating North Carolina getting into the tournament or whatever committee he put together to investigate all the teams and have them do an investigation of NHL officials too.
David will support that investigation.
Yeah, we need another investigation.
He'll donate to that. If they do what's that called? A PayPal page or something, right? You'll donate a little bit to that investigation?
GoFundMe page? GoFundMe page? I'll help. PayPal page.
Okay.
What was that?
Maybe I have been drinking. Hold on, really quick.
Yes.
This is important. One more question.
Right. Yes.
This is specific for David, I guess. I could answer. I know you didn't because you partake. But, David, was that the best corned beef hash? Yes or no?
It was good. I sampled the corned beef hash from Manny's Deli delivered.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, in every way. That was some of the best corned beef hash I've ever had.
I added a little bit of hot sauce to it. Outstanding.
And special thanks to Manny's Deli for catering today's watch party during the Cubs season opener in Tokyo. Go to mannysdeli.com. Visit them on the corner of Roosevelt and Jefferson. Manny's Deli has been Chicago's authentic deli since 1942. That's 83 years of delicious.
And it was so good, and it was so much of a relief to have Manny's Deli here because there were threats of a hot dog. Fest today. Remember that? They were going to. Dustin was going to.
I don't have my I don't have my catering license, so I was unable to share hot dogs.
Thank goodness. That was good, though.
All right, we got Bruce Levine next. We'll bring in Bruce, find out what he thought of the season opener. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Storm.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. The season's over for the Cubs now, 0-1.
That's what we heard. That's Dustin.
That's a rumor. That's the rumor, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, it's all doom and gloom, 161 games left, but why play him now? No, it was... You're playing the best team on the planet, and you're looking at a team without two of the top seven players in the game of baseball not playing today, and Freeman and Betts, and you know they go out there and they have outstanding bench, they have wonderful players all the way around, tremendous pitching as you saw today, and you know it's 29 teams and then the Dodgers. That's how you look at it. It's one game. Put it away and you move forward, I guess.
All right, one question though, Bruce, about manager decisions by Craig Counsell. Why John Birdie instead of Gage Workman at second base, and what did you think of the decision to go to Ben Brown right after Imanaga?
Well, we'll start with the Birdie. You know, the veteran. He wanted him to play out there today. Probably didn't want Workman out there in the first game, and he's been around a long time. You know, Workman will be playing. I would be surprised if he's not in the lineup tomorrow. I mean, I think there's a good chance he'll be in there. Good left-handed bat. You know, the surprise of spring training, probably the most shocking thing is the way that he's hit the ball and fielded the position. So you'll see a lot of Gabe Workman this year. I know it wasn't part of game one. Now, to answer your second question about Ben Brown, that's to me, that was a no-brainer. I mean, you had 69 pitches from your starter in Imanaga, and then you had another 65 from Ben Brown. So don't look at Ben Brown as a bullpen piece at this point. Continue to look at him as a starting pitcher. That's how I look at him. That's how he was stretched out again in spring training. That's how he was stretched out today. They'll continue to be looked at as a starting pitcher. The Chicago Cubs have 13 games in the first 14 days of the year, and you're going to need an extra starting pitcher. You're going to need a guy with options. You're going to need a couple guys with options like Wicks and like Brown. It won't be a demotion to Iowa if they have to send either one out because of not being competitive, but rather that they take advantage of the rules.
Yeah, they, you know, we talked a lot. We said we wouldn't criticize them over the fact that they hadn't yet spent the money on from they saved from Cody Bellinger. We were going to wait and see what they wound up doing. They're a bat short, aren't they? I mean, when you look at it, they scored a run, and they went, what, 21 at-bats without a hit at the end of the game? They're obviously they need another bat, and they need somebody to step up. And I know Kyle Tucker's the silent assassin, but he needs to make some noise.
Yeah, right now it's just you're right. It's just silent. No, the assassin isn't there yet. But, I mean, I've watched him all spring training, and he's hitting the ball, and he's hitting the ball hard to the left center field. That's what you want to see. Again, you know, you're not going to look at a guy who's a gold glover, an all-star a couple of times, been on two world championship teams with his resume. You're not putting him aside and saying this is a failure. So if he doesn't hit, you know, of course, you're going to have problems because they're counting on him to be one of the dominant hitters in the game. And I think he will be, but at this point in time, it's not there.
Bruce, back to the pitching decisions, because I'm curious, with only two games against the Dodgers on this Japanese trip, if you were, the plan was to piggyback your starters and not really stretch guys beyond four or five innings, why was Jameson Taillon and Matthew Boyd left off the active roster rather than having those two guys maybe available and take two other bullpen arms off?
Well, they pitched already. They
could have structured
game.
It so they didn't pitch already. That's
yeah,
the point.
But I mean, the point is that they keep wanting to have these guys stretched out. Okay, this is just look. The reality is this: this is still spring training. Okay, yep. The games count and they matter, but your process has to be the same. You have to continue to stretch out all your starting pitchers. Okay, you're not bringing in Taillon. You're not bringing in Boyd for one inning. That doesn't help your process when you're starting the season in another, what is it, 8 days or 9 days? And then you're going 13 out of 14 days in a row to start the season, which is pretty uncommon anyway. You know, the idea that you don't have any off days starting off, one off day in the first 2 weeks. So with that in mind, and you're starting on the road, so they're going to need all the pitching they can get, and they need these guys continue to be stretched out, and that's what they're doing.
What do we know about Roki tomorrow? What is the, you know, I mean, I know he'll be fired up at home, and I know everybody thinks he's got a lot of special to him, but he's a young guy. How do you anticipate Roki Sasaki doing in game two?
Well, you hope he's going to be nervous, but he's pitching at home, yeah. Right? And he's considered the top young pitcher in the game right now, just coming over from Japan. You know, you're not getting a break as far as stuff goes. You saw Yamamoto today, and Yamamoto was hurt last year, but he's going to be one of the top pitchers in the game this year. And you're probably not going to be far off with Suzuki. So with that in mind, you hope that his command is off. He's a little nervous, and you try to get some people on early off of him and hit a couple pitches as he gets it up. That's going to be the plan. If he's on with his splitter, which is, you know, just almost as good as Yamamoto's or better, you know, you're in for a long day. It just depends on where it's at, you know, as far as his command, his nerves. Is he going to be, excited beyond being able to control himself? We'll find out in less than 24 hours.
Same lineup tomorrow, or you said you might see Workman. What about Carson Kelly behind the plate?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't see any reason why, you know, he wouldn't go with, you know, Council wouldn't go with what he's been doing all spring, and that is maybe Kelly tomorrow, maybe Workman tomorrow. Continue to work all your guys in there. You know, you're trying to win the game, obviously, but, you know, Kelly has been outstanding during spring training. Defensively, people will see a superlative catcher, and he's hitting the ball hard as well. So with that in mind, yeah, why not use some of the people that are going to be part of your regular rotation? You know, platooning a catcher, platooning at third base, all those things are possible with Workman in that lineup and having to be kept all year long. You can't send him to the minor leagues. You either keep him or you send him back to Detroit, and I don't think you want to do that. So they're going to have to find a way to work him in and make sure that he's a part of the offense and defense.
You know, Amaya did have a double and, you know, helped them score their only run. It was rough that the bats were as quiet as they were. When you look at sort of the plan you put together and what you expect, where specifically, you know, say you had a couple of chances, who specifically did not perform when they needed them as you watched the game?
Well, you know, and none of them did because the pitching was so good, right? I mean, you know, there were a couple of hard-hit balls here and there, and Tucker hit a ball really hard in his last at-bat as well. But, you know, I'm most interested in watching Shaw and how he develops. He had an error. It didn't cost him a run. The birdie error cost him a run. They're going to have to clean that up a little bit. And the idea that the guys that have to hit, you know, Swanson's going to have to hit. People are forgetting, you know, that they're hoping by opening day in Arizona – that, you know, Nico Horner is back in the lineup. So that's their goal here. He's going to be a part of this team, and he's going to be an important part of the team. So hitting-wise, I think the Cubs are going to hit. When you have superlative pitchers like the Dodgers have and they're pitching like they are, I don't know what lineup's going to really do a lot of damage against them.
We know Freddie Freeman will not be in the Dodgers lineup tomorrow. He said, or will be in the lineup tomorrow. He said after the game he's expected to play. Justin Steele on the mound, Bruce. There was a time when Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson were guys who came up at the same time, and a lot was expected of both guys. Keegan Thompson might have been a little bit ahead just because of the way he was used. Designated for assignment. Curious about that decision. What's the future hold for him? And might the White Sox be a team that looks at Keegan Thompson as a possibility?
I know there's seven or eight teams that were looking at Thompson. We knew he was going to get DFA'd a week or 10 days ago because of the roster and just the way it was built. You know, I mean, it's just not going to make it. But, you know, at times, as you mentioned, David, he was considered even a better prospect than Steele. And when you look at his ability, he's been hurt time and time again over the last 4 or 5 years. I love him for the White Sox and put him right in that bullpen. And you never know, he could be the closer for the White Sox within a week or 10 days.
It doesn't take that long. He's better than Clevenger, is what I just heard.
Bruce, great
Bruce
job.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Why would the White Sox need a closer is probably as good a question as
They could pounce. They'll have the first choice.
They should. They should. Again. A living, breathing human being is something they should have a lot of. Anybody with a pulse should be claimed and And that's their kind of due diligence, putting that team together. All right, it's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It cost us a run in the fifth, certainly. A couple extra pitches we got out of the Shaw error didn't end up costing us, but the throwing error at second and the double play that probably we should have just ate, that ended up costing us a run. So, you play a team like the Dodgers, you've got to play. You got to do a lot of things right, and that includes defensively, where I think we're really strong, but we made. Especially that mistake tonight cost us one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Craig Counsell, and he's right. He's absolutely right. That cost him one, that decision to throw that ball into the dugout.
Got to clean it up.
You got to eat that ball.
Got to clean it up. Birdie's not a second baseman.
No.
I think he's a utility guy.
No.
Forced into playing second base because of Nico Horner's injury. Probably won't be there tomorrow based on what Bruce said and what the expectation would be. Gage Workman probably will get a start in Japan. And if he does, he likely will be in place of Birdie because I don't think you want to bench Matt Shaw after he made an error.
No.
Still looking for his first hit. So, the lineups will be over-scrutinized and analyzed for the first couple games, first month of the season. That's what we do. It's kind of fun. That's why I asked Bruce about the starting pitching thing. Because if you were going to go to a starting pitcher after Imanaga, and you knew that going in, why would you not want your second best starting pitcher? Not Justin Steele. He's pitching tomorrow.
Yeah.
But using Tyone and Boyd over the weekend basically made it impossible for them to be used in these two games.
Yeah.
That was a conscious decision.
Tyone would have been perfect to come in and finish that game.
Yeah.
And then you could... Like, why have your number one, your opening day starter with your number five starter piggybacking?
Well, that's what I think is curious about it, and that's why I think coming out of today, that is one of the questions, because if that was the plan all along, and if we're viewing Ben Brown's usage today as his arrival in the rotation as the fifth starter, why would you not want that to be maybe your third starter or your fourth starter?
Right.
Or a veteran guy.
Someone with some experience.
Yes.
It's a big moment, the Tokyo Dome. You're on international television. Yeah,
You're not asking them to pitch on fewer days rest. You're actually giving them an extra day to stretch, if you will. So you would have given both guys opportunities to be effective, and now they're not even on the active roster. That wasn't a choice. And when you lose a game, when you lose the opener, all these questions are valid.
I'm going to call on Kyle Tucker. I'm calling on him right now. It's a personal shout out. 4-for-4 tomorrow.
4-for-4. Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
You went 0-for-4 today. 4-for-4, then everything's back on track.
That would be four times as many hits as he's had since becoming a Cub.
The $312 million contract you were offered.
Stop talking about money.
Is going up to $500.
No, don't.
With a
That's
going to
be
tomorrow.
The
couple of homers.
By May 1st, we're going to get tired of hearing about Kyle Tucker's
be up to six,
half a billion dollar
or down to
contract that he's playing for.
I hope we're talking about it. I hope we're talking about how much he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's
Let's
the
not be
guy
talking
that
about that he hit three balls out of the infield.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to come to that conclusion after opening day.
Ian Happ.
It's been a long month.
He had a nice game out of everybody. I thought he was on base a couple times.
Did he?
Yeah,
struck out in a moment. Struck out in a moment, had a fielding.
You know who had a good day?
Say it didn't do anything.
You know who had a good day? Marquee Sports Network had a good day.
Marquee Sports Network did very well for themselves.
That was pretty cool. All the images.
The fine people here at the Score.
Oh, that
are in
well,
the
that
Blue
goes
Cross
without saying.
Blue Shield Performance Studio, Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all.
Manny's Deli had a good
we
day.
We did very well.
Yeah.
Manny's Deli is getting tons of publicity for how great they did. They delivered.
Corned beef hash, best ever. Best ever.
I'm not a corned beef hash guy.
I'm just saying, if you're a corned beef hash guy.
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
You like corned beef?
No.
Or you really don't like corned beef?
No.
I had awesome corned beef yesterday. I had good corned beef on Saturday. Didn't have any on Sunday. And great corned beef on Monday.
Did you know
Monday.
That corned beef is an American thing?
Thing? Like pizza, kind of?
There is no corned beef in Ireland. That's true.
It's totally American.
It's a way to preserve the meat. Mm-hmm. So it is
it's
not.
It's like how they did on Yellowstone.
I didn't watch it.
I never watched it.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You going to be okay carrying that case of beer out of here?
Yeah. No, I think one of us is going to mug him in the parking lot.
So what do we got tonight? We got tonight no baseball. really? So the Cubs are not playing?
We got the tournament, man.
Well, the question stands. Do we have the tournament or
we have the tournament tonight. Yeah. It's the beginning of the NCAA tournament, the play-in round in Dayton, the first four. Alabama State, St. Francis.
Play-in.
This is the rundown that Dustin gives us. Some may say the tournament starts tonight.
The tournament starts tonight. The tournament definitely starts tonight.
He doesn't believe it starts tonight.
Show of hands, does the tournament start tonight or not? Yes. Yes.
Well, some may say.
If you're a fan of these teams, if you're on these rosters, the tournament starts tonight. So you can watch the tournament. Hockey, got the hockey at the United Center.
Yeah, that's good.
Hawks and Kraken.
And we want to remind everyone, tomorrow is game two of the MLB Tokyo Series between the Cubs and the Dodgers. The pregame coverage once again begin at 4:30 a.m. with the first pitch at 5:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And we will be on again immediately after with the immediately after the postgame show. The run total for tomorrow is 7.5.
Is it? Okay.
So it'll be a longer game.
Yeah.
So you may as well just get in
I'm
a little
taking
later.
The under. Yeah. We might be talking about the Bears. Maybe they'll sign a receiver today. Mecole Hardman and Rondale Moore were visiting on Monday.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
And I'm calling on Ohtani to go hitless. I'm doing
Ohtani is going to go hitless, and Kyle Tucker's going to have four?
At this segment on 670, that's what has to happen, on 670 The Score is brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. And thanks to everybody. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for
being
here.
Thanks for staying with us.
This was a great morning.
We had a great morning. It was great to see everybody and get to chat a little bit. And we appreciate it. Stay tuned because Layla is in. It is the Layla Tuesday with Marshall Harris next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.